you'd stay off food for days. You know what I used to like when I was young? Well, anytime I've got the time, I'd go and visit older people, and help, you know, do things for them. Maybe they need their floors washed, I'd wash their floors for them. And I had a lot of old people that loved me and wanted to see me all the time, inviting me to their house. It's because I like to help them. Now young kids, they don't want to do anything to help older people. They'd rather be away playing with something else instead of helping anybody. I miss a lot of old people. There used to be a lady that lives down here. She never had a daughter. On Mother's Day, I'd buy my mother a pot of plant, and then I'd buy this other woman a plant. And another woman lived down at the corner, Cassie Ninham. I'd buy her a plant because she didn't have a daughter either. I used to go around like that when I was young. Did things for them. I just loved doing that. I still could do it today, you know, if I see somebody that was stuck, I'd go and help them. I worked for people just down at the corner of that four crossing on Munchie Road. Mm-hmm. I went there when I was 19, and I worked for them for 48 years, off and on. And the lady said she wanted me to take care of her when she ever got sick, if her husband was gone before her. But she got sick quite a while ago, about maybe 10 years ago. They called me at 6 o'clock in the morning. They said, Alice is sick, will you come up and take care of her for the day? I went up, got there. She was sitting on a rocking chair, all humped over, had a heart attack. So I got her bed ready and cleaned her up. I took her a sponge bath and then put her a clean nightdress on. We put her to bed. I stayed with her all day. And when I was done for the day, her husband handed me $50. I said, no, I don't want that $50. I promised her I'd be with her in her last days. And a nurse come in about 5 o'clock and I left. She's going to take care of her for the night. And the next morning I got a call at 10 o'clock. She was dead already. And that was her wish. She said, if my husband dies before I do, take me home, take care of me at your house, come here and take care of me at the house. I love that lady. Oh, she, in 48 years, she never had a word to say to me, why didn't you do this? And I went on my own. Whatever is to do, I do it.
Is there a lot of elders left on this reserve?
Big pardon?
Is there a lot of elders left on the reserve?
Not too many. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would say, I don't know just how many would be. Not as many as they used to be long ago.
On my reserve, the eldest people that are living now are only in their 70s. They never reach 80s or 90s.
No.
Residential school.
Yeah. That's, you know, I lived. I was about 12, I think, when I went there. Reason why I went, my father was sick all the time, and he can't support our clothing and that to go to school. We missed a lot of school. And that's when there was my brother and my sister and myself that went to that school from one family. There was 36 of us that we met in Toronto, that from different reserves, some from Sarnia, Brantford, and, you know, went to that school. And there's only two of us living that around here that went to that school. All the rest died. A guy named Tom Shanks, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, he lives in town. He'd be about the same age as I am. And when I see him, he always says, Sagolakso, that means hello, Grandpa. That's what I say to him every time I see him. Sagolakso.
That sounds funny, eh? Does the name almost sound familiar, only turned a little? Mm-hmm. I call this young guy Dimwesh. In Odawa, I guess it's Odawa, because I'm learning Odawa, it means old woman. I won bingo last week, and my husband was gone away, and he was playing bingo with us, this guy, my husband's friend. Before I got to tell my husband, he told him. So I told him, I said, I'm going to start calling you Dimwesh. So my mom had to put her 2 cents in, and he had just finished having lunch with us. And I said, would you like more lunch? Oh, no, thank you. He goes like this, and my mom says, oh, he's saving that for his figure, for his new dress he wants to wear.
That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's about all I got to say about the old farmers.
Mm.
But, as I say, long time ago, everybody had work to do, like the children had work to do. There was wood cutting, there was water to carry. When the women are going to wash, they didn't have water in the house, and the children got their pails and brought water in, and we had to heat it on a wood stove, get the washing going. Rub them washboard and rub clothes all day. From 8 in the morning, maybe until 4, you get your big washing done. But now today, all push button, we still do like to wash.
No, we don't like to wash. I got an automatic dishwasher or for laundry and dryer, and I don't even like washing.
You know what?
I got a vacuum cleaner, I just have to, and I don't like doing that either.
That's bad.
We're lazy, we get lazy.
Yeah.
No, I'm not lazy.
You just don't want to do that.
I just don't like doing it because I've been used to hard work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I went downstairs in my basement and I cleaned out the whole basement in one day.
That's long.
But I don't like pushing around.
Well, years ago, we didn't have these kind of covers on our floors. Like underneath this here, it was a regular hardwood floor and it wasn't varnished. So that means scrubbing brush all the time. And at the Brandon School, that's the way it was, on our hands and knees and big dining room. Dormitory, stairways, we had to scrub it.
How was your life there? Do you still speak Oneida? Or?
Oh, yes.
Were you allowed to speak?
We weren't allowed to speak when we were at school. That's what I wonder now. They're paying to get their language back, to speak their own language. The principal used to say, if I hear anybody talk in their own language, they'll get a strapping. But today, there's money going out to learn your language again. I think that was terrible. If they didn't stop us,
it'd still be there.
Yeah, but I can speak my language just as good as anything.
Better than
English.
What were the rules like if you were caught talking? What would happen to you if you were caught talking the language?
Well, he'd promise he'd strap us if we, use our language. You know, that was mean, I'd say, the way we were treated. That's supposed to be a Christian school, but I wouldn't call that the punishments we got. We weren't licked all the time, but they had a way of punishing you. Like, we had a big dining room and tables there, and I guess the boys were starving, so they got this caps full of wheat. I don't know what they do with wheat, whether they eat it. Anyway, I was setting the table in the dining room, and the principal come in with this hat. He said, don't put food in that dish, and don't put food in that dish, and that dish, he knew where the boys sat and who sat there. And he poured that wheat into the dishes, and then he poured water in there. That's what they had to eat. That was pitiful. And they were working on a farm part of the time. They were farming.
And with us, with our language in Spanish, if we were caught, it wasn't, I would have rather went without food, or I would have rather got a beating, or I would have rather got my hair pulled or a kick in the seat. But what they did was they used to burn kids.
Uh-huh.
They were caught talking Ojibwe or any language, any of the kids that came in there. Because there was two of us. teacher, but I used to speak it really good. We were caught talking Indian one day, and they had turned around and they had gotten this boil water from the kitchen, and they came right in and they were shooting the water. They went to shoot the water at both of us, but this girl pulled me out of the way, and there was no one else to pull the other girl out of the way. So the other girl got it, and she scalded and she burned to death in the water. And they didn't look into that. All they said was she died because she was sick. Because at that time there was a lot of sickness going on. I don't know what it was, but
it wasn't reported at all.
It wasn't reported. And she's in an unmarked grave up in Nancy. But I remember that. And because I didn't get that punishment that time, I got it later. I nearly died there too.
Yeah.
They threw me down a flight of stairs and I ended up having a hemorrhage. I nearly died. I remember that. And I remember they used to take the kids' clothes and rip them right off the back and just strap them right in front of everybody. They would have one of the big straps, like almost like a whip, and they would just whip you with it. You know, if you got caught wetting the bed, or if you were caught up late at night. And like some of the kids were really young, they would cry at night or they'd whine at night, you know, because they missed the parent. And they would just be pulled by the hair right off the bed, and they would, their clothes would be automatically stripped right off them, and they would just have welts on their body.
There was so much things that went on, but we didn't get beating like that. There was a girl that, you know, used to like to curl her hair. So she must have tore the pillow slips, you know, to do her hair up. And she was caught. They shaped her hair right off, and they made her wear that potato sack. She wore that for 6 months, just no hair at all. Oh, I used to just want to cry when I see her.
Did you get to come home for visits at all, or did you have to stay up there the whole time?
Well, my mom and dad didn't have money to go and get me, and there was a guy named Bill Shanks, that's the father of that Tom Shanks I called. He went up to see his children. He had three of them up there. And he stayed up there for the summer. And he used to come in like Sundays, and well, they give them like the playroom, take the kids in there, and he'd sit in there. And they used to come and get me too, because he was from here. He was just like my dad. Way after I come home, I was grown up, he still treated me like I'm his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. And he came to my mom and dad, they lived just down here. And he said, I came to see if you'd go to Essex canning factory to work. And he said, when will you be ready to go if you want to go? I said, I'm ready now. He said, you want to go to work and you're ready now? I said, yes. I went in and got my suitcase. It's always packed. I'm ready to go to work. If there's any job that come up, my suitcase is packed, ready. So I went. And I said, if you meet mother on the way, she was gone to Muncie's store, and will you stop? I'll tell her I'm on my way to work. And I just came from London. I used to work in London. And we met her, and we stopped, and I told Mama, I said, I'm going to work in Essex factory. She said, I thought you were going to stay home for a couple of weeks. You just got home, not again. I said, yeah, it's best to be working, not staying home. I don't get nothing staying home. I was willing to work ever since I was working out, since I was 12. Every summer I worked for Evan John and his mother. You know, they had a big garden of vegetables like onions, radishes, and I used to get that ready. They'd take it to the market and pick them out the garden and wash them and bunch them up. My dad would take me to the house like in the morning, and he'd go after me at night in horse and buggy ride.
I wonder why it seems so changed today between the younger generation and the older generation, why they don't have the patience to teach each other.
I don't know.
You know, I've talked to the older generation a lot, and I find that I get more from them. But I've also asked them, do you ever talk to anyone else? Do you ever talk to people younger than you? Do you ever go to schools and talk? And really sit there and let them listen to your story, because I think they get more from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of them say no, they don't have the time, they don't, you know. But then it's the same way. They're impatient too, because they don't want to take that time to teach them.
One thing I wonder, I look at my own daughter, and my oldest daughter is almost 17, is that she, and I don't know if this is true, but it seems that kids now are so off into the future that they don't seem to have a sense of the past and the present the way that I did. I mean, I remember a lot of family stories and a strong sense of what the past was and what the history was and the part of North America that I came from. It was very important to know the history.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's because today everything is done in nuclear. Everything has to be done. My grandmother used to always talk about the planes that were going to be in the sky, the silver bridge, she used to call them, the big silver bridge, is going to be in the sky, and they're going to damage the sky, and there's not going to be no more earth. It's going to be all this different kind of road, different kind of life. And she used to see that, and when I was small, she used to always tell me about that. But because of today, there's hardly anything expected of your kids, only that they be good, they don't get into drugs, and they don't do alcohol. They're never told anything else but those three major things, that they get tired of hearing that. And what they see on TV and the radio has a lot to do with it. So they're not really being told only what we want them to see. I don't know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm telling my kid, well, in the year 2000 and so and so, you're going to be flying up to the moon. If not, your children are. And so we're already putting thoughts into their head that their kids are going to be brought up like that.
We're not saying,
well, if you look back and you start looking around, you'll find different things. We're saying, look to the future, because that's where it is. And it's not where it is. It's doing more damage to their life.
You know, there's so much kids that they learn after watching the TV, I think. Long time ago, there was even no radios, no television. All they did, the kids work, they stay home all the time. They're not allowed to be all over the place. We weren't. My father would whip the kids if they were off their property. It's got to stay around for you. He says, that's why we got a place, you stay here. I had my aunt living just down the road, and I was never over at my aunt's when we were kids. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere alone after I was 21, before my mom let me go alone anywhere. At night, my uncle had to take me. My mother was strict.
I was lucky. It was strict in my family, but not in that sense of a way. But then there was not too much of a family, because my grandfather died and my grandmother was left behind. And then my real father died and my mom was there. But then my mom had to leave because she was in the hospital all her life. And she got married to my stepdad, and I didn't know him, so I didn't communicate very well with anybody. So I picked and chose who my friends were going to be, and I did what I wanted to do. But I think because I learned through that way that I didn't turn out too bad.
Yeah. See, us kids, we were only allowed to play if my mom had a visitor. That's the only time we can play. Other time we were all working, either pulling weeds out of the garden for the pigs, or that's what we used to have to do. Rake the wood chips for fire. There's always something to do. Get the clothes off the line.
That's probably why you're always busy now.
Yeah, well, since I, retired working, I feel like I'm on a go all the time. I feel like I shouldn't sit down at any minute, that I'm supposed to be on my feet. That's the way I was when I was working. I worked all that time. This is my 50th year that I'm working out. I still go out to work. 55 years.
Did you have a garden this year?
I'm going to have a little one, not as big. Because the doctors don't want me to do a lot of bending down on account of the high blood pressure. But I get my cushion out there. I got one of those air cushions and I put it out there. And I start to work.
Like, what kinds of things do you think you'll grow this year? What would you like to have in your garden?
Oh, I don't know. When it's growing good, I guess, whenever that is.
Yeah. But mostly corn, lettuce.
Yeah. I'm just going to grow onions and tomatoes and, you know, the things that's easy to look after. Last year I had some Indian corn. I got quite a bit, about nearly half a bushel. So it's good. I used it all too. But I lost a lot of kidney beans, you know, on account of that rain.
Oh, yes.
I didn't get it off when it started. Yeah.
Is it this reserve that they give you kidney beans, a box or a bag of kidney beans, or is it Muncie?
Must be Muncie, not this.
No, there's one reserve here, I know, because my husband's uncle lives on one of the reserves here. I don't know if it's
I think it's Muncie.
But they get one big bag of kidney beans a year, and he gave us half.
Is that from it must be from a reserve farm then?
I don't know where it's from. I know the reserve gives it out to every Indian person.
You know, nearly all the reserves get something. Like, I know even people live in the States, they get big box of cheese and stuff. This reserve, we don't get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Always here, they get money too, across the river, they get money every year, so
my
much.
My reserve used to get money, because my grandmother would laugh every time she'd get it.
Yeah.
And what they'd always, well, she'd always say it in Indian, and she would say, this is enough for the, this is not even enough for the people to go out and get drunk or get drinking anymore.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't getting, they weren't getting that much at that time. I was going to.
Well, it's time has changed so much. When we were first married, and we used to live down the other way, you know. And there's an old man that lives just not too far from us. And after I get my meal put away and wash my dishes, and then my husband would say, let's go to Peter Silver, he lives over there. We'd go there and spend the night. He'd tell stories, and you know, that's the way we spent the night. People telling stories, different houses. But now there's skating, there's hockey and whatnot, going ball games all the time. Long time ago they didn't have all that, just that lacrosse game at the longhouse, that's about all. But now there's so many places to go to, they ain't got no time to visit nobody. That's, the time has changed so much since I could remember. It has. But I like the olden days, whether I had to scrub my clothes on a board. I did like the olden days.
I think that's what brings a lot, like, even my age, I always feel that I want to go back. I don't know why, it just seems like I want to go back there. I know it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Because my mom said the same thing. Why would you want to live on the reserve? It's a hard life. That's what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the city life, but I have no alternative.
You know, I like the city in the daytime, but soon as at night, I'd rather be out here than anywhere else. Like during the service, my husband and I, we lived in town and the kids, and he was in the army. I wanted to come home every weekend, come to my mom and dad's. That's when I bought this place while he was in the service, a lot, like 2 acres and an old house, and then we tore it down and built this during the war. He got in 1941, 42. I bought this for 1943, but we didn't build this until 1945.